This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, hey, this is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside three-time Super Bowl winning executive and strategist Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Hour two of the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network. If you missed any of the first hour of the program, make sure you are subscribing to our podcast channel. You can download and subscribe on your own time. Great stuff there. Also, latest edition of the GM Shuffle available live right now. Michael and Femi recorded a great edition earlier today, every Monday and Thursday, every week throughout the NFL season. And Michael, plenty of news and notes that we got to get to. So let's dive right into it. 11 of the 16 games on the schedule this week have moved a point or more since they were reopened on Sunday night. The majority of them with multiple number shifts. Let's start with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who opened a 3.5-point favorite. We saw that get bet up to 5.5. And then just about an hour or so ago this morning, back down to 3.5 with reports coming out of Jaguars camp. Beat reporters saying Trevor Lawrence has been throwing short passes, very light throwing. This is the first time that media has seen him throw since the Bucs game 11 days ago. And he apparently has just been limited and trying to feel better, according to Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, I mean, we're all trying to feel better. But I think clearly that his shoulder must be bothering him. I mean, that was a very soft throw, and you could see he didn't really exert himself. The line has – so there's a couple reasons, I think, for the line movement. And a lot of it is due to the stat that we had up on our website, which was basically since 1990, eliminated teams, teams that have nothing to play for, going against teams in the final two weekends that have something to play for. They are 164-4 since 1990. That's 61%. And the four teams that qualify in this category are the Panthers. We see their number going down. The Titans right here. Cardinals and Bears. And I think this is it. The combination of the Titans injury, the combination of the Lawrence injury, along with this stat and Mike Vrabel's wanting to win the game, I think is driving this number down. And we don't even know who's quarterbacking for Tennessee, and this number's moving down. Think about that, Stormy.
Yeah. If Will Levis is healthy, it should be him. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Ryan Tannehill, who, of course, started this past week, waiting in the wings for another one of his opportunities. But great point by you, Michael. And when it comes to Jacksonville, so let's say, what did you see from C.J. Beathard last week? Because after the Jags had dropped four straight, they finally get back in the win column, but it is against a lowly Carolina Panthers team. They shut him out 26-0. But if it is C.J. Beathard, how do you like their chances against the Titans?
Well, I think, first of all, I like their chances because of Tennessee's horrible pass defense, right? They can't cover anybody. If Kirk's back, that certainly will help. Beathard was accurate. He threw the ball on time, and he didn't try to take any chances. He wasn't trying to be a hero, which is what it is. And for the first time pretty much all year, Jacksonville dedicated themselves to trying to run the football. I mean, all season, Jacksonville has not been able to really run the ball effectively. And against the Carolina Panthers, they had 35 rushing attempts for 155 yards. Unheard of, right? They only threw it 24 times. You got to give them credit. They changed their strategy. They didn't turn the ball over. They ran the football. They controlled the clock, and they got out of there with a win. I think you're going to see the same kind of game plan. This Tennessee defense isn't good. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth game. I think it's the reason it came down to 3.5 is because both teams are going to struggle to score points based on their offensive formations.
Okay, total in that one, 39.5. How about the Sunday night football game, Buffalo at Miami? The Bills were laying 1.5 at open. That thing's gotten all the way up to 3. We talk about the injuries. Bradley Chubb done for the year, already been down Jaden Phillips, then Xavier Howard unlikely to go. And now Tyreek Hill. So this is an interesting situation. You hate it for him and his family. They had a house fire yesterday, so he had to leave practice early. Today he missed practice as well, so we don't know if that's injury related or just personal things that he has to keep taking care of. But what you noted as the most interesting from our standpoint, from the betting perspective, is that the video of him arriving at his house, he had a walking boot on.
Yeah. And in my experience, guys don't leave, if the guys leave the facility with a walking boot, then, you know, then there's something that they're not 100% healthy. Because if you can walk around and you feel like you can go and you don't need a walking boot, okay, I got that. But when you're walking around without a walk, when you're walking around with a walking boot, you're not 100%. And I don't think he's going to be 100%. But that I don't think it really matters in this game as much, because when you go back and watch the first game, Hill wasn't an impactful player. This is going to be, I think this over is a little bit, I don't see either team moving the ball like they did in week four of the season, right? Buffalo is not offensively. They got to run the ball. I think it's hard to run the ball against Miami, even without Chubb and Phillips in the game. Now, Miami has going to have to figure out a way to where they can protect Tua, because the last time they played, Daquan Jones, who's healthy now, he was out there last week, put a lot of pressure on him, and this offensive line has struggled to protect. I mean, you go back and watch the Patriot game. The Patriots' defensive front gave the Bills all the trouble that they could go through. I mean, it was bad. I mean, they really did a hell of a job on them, and they really created a problem. I mean, Allen couldn't make any plays in the passing game.
Huge game. Winner takes the AFC East. And for Buffalo, it's still so remarkable that they could either be the number two seed in the AFC or potentially, depending on how some of the dominoes fall this weekend, could miss the playoffs altogether. But a 3-point favorite in this spot. See if they can cement that number two position. We've seen a flip of favorites in the Texans-Colts game. Right move or wrong move that the Texans go from getting a point and a half to now laying one?
I think Mike Somich said it really well in the last hour. The better defense, Houston. Better quarterback, Houston. Team playing better now, Houston. You know, 2 weeks ago, they went into Atlanta, the Colts, and looked bad. I mean, the Falcons just took care of them. And, you know, what we see is if they can run the football, the Colts, that's their reason for succeeding. Steichen doesn't want to give the game away. He understands he's coaching a quarterback that is prone to make mistakes. And if you blitz him the right way or if you attack him inside, it becomes problematic. And this Colt defense is not good. I mean, that is really not good. Stormy, when you go through the list of quarterbacks that they played against, right? When you go, it's Mac Jones, it's all these bad backup quarterbacks, Aiden O'Connell, Taylor Heineke. I mean, they haven't played anybody, and yet their numbers are horrendous. They're one of the worst defenses in all of football, and you can't find a good quarterback that they played over the last half of the season. And Stroud's going to be a really good quarterback. Think about this now. You know, Baker Mayfield, you know, Will Levis, Jake Browning, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, Taylor Heineke, Aiden O'Connell. And, okay, so that's the quarterbacks that they played. 27th in points allowed, 24th in yards per attempt, in yards given up. You know, the 25th in allowing the most first downs of any team. You know, 27th in yards allowed on the ground. When Singletary can get going in the offense for the Texans, it opens up their whole passing game. I don't like it. I don't like this defense at all. I know Kenny Moore's back off the back injury, but I don't like this defense against the Texans. I think the Texans will move the football. They did in the first game. I mean, the first game that they played, it kind of was. Now, remember, in that first game, Anthony Richardson was playing, and he got off to a fast start, and they got a lead. They got up 28-10 at the half. And then all of a sudden, the Texans really couldn't do anything. And we weren't sure how good the Texans were. But when you go through the tape, the Texans figured it out. They gained almost 400 yards, a lot of it in the second half. They turned it over. They had three fumbles. They lost one. And so that really was the game. But, you know, I think the Texans will run the football. And I think it's hard to beat a team twice.
Yeah, I think they're the rightful favorite. And I want them to make the playoffs so bad. It has been such a fun season to watch them, to watch C.J. Stroud shine, to watch what D'Amico Ryans has been able to do to turn around this organization in his first year there. I'm a big fan, so that's what I'll be rooting for, and I think I'm going to put my money on it as well. How about the Cincinnati Bengals go from a 4-point favorite all the way up to laying a touchdown now against the Browns? Stefanski was pretty open from the jump that he was going to be sitting, guys. Didn't expect it to be Jeff Driskel at quarterback. So starting QB number 5 now for the Browns this season. And Zach Taylor has been very open as well about saying he wants to win this game by any means necessary. They don't want to get swept in the AFC North. 0-5 in the division right now going into this game. Right move or wrong move that this is all the way up to 7 points now?
Yeah, it's a little rich to bet Jake Browning at 7, but I think it's the right play. Look, you know, part of what we haven't discussed, Stormy, is not only are they going to take some of their key players out. Myles Garrett won't play in this game, right? They're going to rest anybody that has any lingering injuries or they need. So there's seven guys. But here's also what happens. Because you're going to rotate guys in the game, remember, you can't rest everybody. The game plan is going to be scaled way back. You're not getting the same game plan out of Jim Schwartz this week against the Bengals that you would have typically got had it been week 10. That's a point to consider here. Whereas the Miami-Buffalo game, that's all-out game plan. Those game plans are in place. Bears-Packer, game plan all the way in. Jacksonville-Tennessee may not be because of all the injuries, so things get scaled back. And I think this is a game where Cleveland's going to scale back their game plan, which is going to benefit the Cincinnati Bengal offense. It really is, because the Bengals will be able to quickly figure out what they're doing. They're not going to try to do too much, and they'll move the ball and get the lead and make Driscoll play from behind.
Last one here quickly, 49ers-Rams. It's going to be Carson Wentz against Sam Darnold, former number two and number three overall picks in the draft at one time. Did it surprise you that the Rams, who have gone now from a 2.5-point dog to now a 4-point dog, surprise you that it doesn't seem they care what seeding they're going to have?
No, it doesn't. Well, it does surprise me because I thought they would want Detroit. But McVay feels like, look, both defenses aren't good. I can game plan against them. You know, now this is a classic example of two game plans that are going to be scaled way back, right? Both teams want to rest guys, rotate guys through, right? You can't have a big time game plan with Wentz because he doesn't have been there long enough. And with Darnold, you got to keep it simple so he can execute. So this is one of those, I'm surprised. You know, I don't know how you bet the Rams knowing their depth is so bad.
We got to step aside. We got No Way or No Doubt coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The holiday season may have come and gone, but VSiN is still here to gift you some winners, extending our holiday special. You can get VSiN Pro access to everything we do when you come join us from now through May 1st, only $79. Sign up today, you'll get unlimited access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and top plays for the national championship coming up this week, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out, though. It's a limited time extended offer. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you can sign up on our holiday special. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
Let's do it. Saquon Barkley doubled down this week on the thought, Michael, that he wants to be a Giant for life. Quote, that was a goal of mine when I got drafted. I wanted to leave a legacy here, but it's out of my control. No way or no doubt, Michael, the Giants will finally agree to a long-term deal for Saquon this offseason. What do you think?
No doubt. They want him. He wants them. I mean, he's just going to have to modify his demands, but I think what we learned, for all the hoopla, for all the uproar about how disrespected the backs were, right? We've seen that. Does it really matter? I mean, does it really matter? We see younger, I mean, look at Zaire White come in for Josh Jacobs. Nobody said anything about that. He's played really well. You know, now I'm sure the Raiders are going to want to sign Josh Jacobs back. He's one of their best players. But when you do that and you overpay a back, it gets you into some cap troubles. I know you want to try to keep the many players on your team, but you got to keep him at the right number. And if Barkley wants the right number or just a little bit above it, there's no doubt in my mind that the Giants are more than willing to pay him.
Okay. I just asked the question because I don't think that any of us want to go back through the will he, won't he get franchise tagged and all of that stuff over again.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to franchise him. Let the market dictate. Yeah. But the Giants are always scared. You know, they're always scared about the market. Let the market dictate. You know, sometimes you may find somebody better for cheaper. And that's the key to being successful in this league, is finding good players at an economic value.
Based on where you live, nobody knows better than you a lot of the issues that have been going on out there with the Philadelphia Eagles. And after declining to speak to the media the past two games, pretty frustrated, A.J. Brown broke his silence on Wednesday, and he backed his coaches. Before I ask the all-important no way or no doubt, let's hear from A.J. Brown.
That may be things that Nick probably want to fix about himself, and I'll say, but one thing I can't respect, loyalty is not one of them. And I say that because he takes up for us when it has nothing to do with him. And he gets the blame, but that comes with his job, you know? And sometimes Jalen does the same thing. And just like Brian, he get the wrong end of the stick sometimes when it be us. But, because like I said today, the coaches played zero snaps this year. It is not the coaches. It is us.
So Brown saying whether he deserves it or not, Nick Sirianni's getting blamed for this offense. No way or no doubt. Sirianni deserves the blame for the poor Eagles offense. How do you view it?
Well, no doubt. I mean, the reality is he still runs the offense. I mean, here's the mechanics within the building. Sirianni works on the game plan. He and Brian Johnson, the offensive coordinator, and the offensive line, they all kind of collaborate, work together. Johnson calls the game. Sirianni's obviously involved, but they let him call the game because Sirianni's a very emotional man. He can fly off a handle, and he loses his temperament. He loses his poise. He's not a play caller when you do that. And so somebody else, but his fingerprints are on the offense. Let's not make any mistake about it. It was when Steichen was there. So it was good with Steichen. It's not good this year. So if you're going to take the credit last year, take it this year. Take the blame. I mean, they got to be able to fix it. The problem has been they don't run the ball to the same level, and they haven't played with the lead. They haven't gotten off to a fast start, and they've turned the ball over way too many times.
Yeah, it's been ugly the last handful of games for this team. The Bears have officially secured the number one overall pick in 2024, the Carolina Panthers. Of course, we know the trade that happened last year. There is no way that they can get out of the basement this year. So that number one pick is locked in, but it's still up in the air what Chicago is going to do with it and what the fate may be for their current starting quarterback in Justin Fields. No way or no doubt, Michael, how Fields plays this week against the Packers could determine his future with the franchise.
No way. This future, it's all, there's enough tape. So why is this game different than the Cleveland game? Why is this game different than the opening game against the Packers? Like, it's accumulation of all the games. You just can't focus on one game to make a $50 million decision. This is what you're faced with, Chicago. You're faced with a $50 million decision, whether you like it or not. And your quarterback, who you're wanting to pay, has averaged under 7 yards per attempt. You don't make enough explosive plays. Now, he's got great feet. He's an athlete, all that stuff. But the question isn't, do we bring him back? The question is, are we going to pay him $50 million? And do we want to go down that road? So no way this game has any impact on whether you pay him $50 million or not. No way.
I asked the question because the bulk of his career, the issues have turned into losses. And down the stretch, this back end of the season, won 4 of their last 5 games. You have fans chanting, "We want Fields." You have DJ Moore saying, "I want him to be the quarterback. I said what I said. Now it's on the higher-ups." So you wonder how much of that can play into an owner's psyche.
Well, I mean, look, you know, the players are going to help the players. You have to make a decision. What I said on the podcast today, I think, is really true. If you are Ryan Poles, you're watching the Cleveland Brown game on December 17th in Cleveland, a very good defense, you're on the road. That's where you want to evaluate your quarterback. That's what you want to be able to see. How did he play in that game against an upper echelon defense, and how did he handle that situation? And we know the answer to that. He threw the ball 40 times. He threw for 166 yards. He had 2 interceptions, right? They had 4 fumbles in the game. They lost only 1. So, like, I don't know what more you have to look at. They were 4-for-18 on third down. 4-for-18 on third down. And Flacco tried to give them the game. They turned it over 3 times, but, you know, on a chance to win the game late, he stumbled. Like, the reason that game is so important is because to win in playoff games, you have to beat a defense or a team similar to what the Browns are. You can beat the Falcons. That doesn't matter. That gets you 8-8. But to get to the next level, to earn $50 million, you got to beat a team like the Browns. Here's the numbers. Okay, here are the numbers. They're right there in front of you. You got to watch and study the tape. If you think he played well in that game and you think he's worth the $50 million, God bless and sign him. But watch that game. That game's important. Some of these other games that you watch, you know, great game against Washington. Who doesn't play good against Washington? You know, Mac Jones, but that's a whole other story. But, seriously, at what point do you sit there and say, okay, here's the game where you got to play well? Week two of the season, Tampa Bay, turned the ball over in the fourth quarter. Okay, made mistakes, young year. Kansas City wasn't healthy in that game. You know, we go on. Now, I give it this credit. Here's the reason the Bears have won and why they're 5-2 over the last seven games. They're 1-2 on the road, by the way. But the reason they've won is because they've turned the ball over 18 times from their opponents, and they've only committed seven. They've protected the ball. Do you realize, Stormy, in that seven-game win streak, they've only had one game where they've thrown for over 200 yards?
Hey, Michael.
So, I don't understand why it's all Fields is winning. Fields isn't turning it over. That's why they're winning.
I was going to say, you're not going to get an argument out of me. I'm just here asking the questions, okay? But as Michael referenced, new pod dropped today. Make sure you download the GM Shuffle. There have been some reports, one of which from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Vinny Bonsignor wrote 2 days ago that, according to an NFL source with knowledge of the situation, Harbaugh to the Raiders is very much in play. No way or no doubt. Jim Harbaugh is a realistic option to be Vegas's next head coach.
I think there's no doubt. However, I do think finances is going to play a huge role here. I think there's probably interest on both sides. However, how much are you willing to pay the next coach? You've paid a lot of money for Gruden, and I think you paid that contract out. You owe McDaniels a lot of money. I would say, conservatively, Mark Davis, through his decision-making, has spent $100 million on head coaches. Now, you're not getting Harbaugh to come for $10 million a year. Not with the light of the news about first-time coaches making almost 9 or 10. Forget what Ben Johnson wants or people claim that he wants, right? It's going to cost you significant money. You're going to have to pay him in the top five coaches in the National Football League. Are the Raiders prepared to do that? I'm not so sure about that.
Rapid fire. I just want a no way or a no doubt. Brad Allen's crew should be suspended and the NFL should admit they made a mistake.
No doubt.
Oh, okay. Last one. Zach Wilson has started his last game as an NFL quarterback.
No doubt.
No doubt? He can't no even doubt. Get a little bit of love. Not at another place. He
nobody's
can't get
taken,
a little bit
nobody's
more love.
Taken him on as a starter. Nobody's taken him on as a starter. I mean, the documentary's already in place. You know, it's going to 5 years from now. I hated football. I don't know why I even played.
Oh, no. So sad. We got to step aside here on the Lombardi line. But when we come back, hit the final half hour of the program. VSiN's own Circa Resort and Casino VP, Mike Palm, is going to hang out with us coming up.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on the Lombardi Line, remember, you can come join us and become a VSiN Pro subscriber. That'll get you a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. Also gets you unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check out the top VSiN experts leaderboard. We've got betting records, profit, and ROI. You can see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up now for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Live in Las Vegas from downtown Circa Resort and Casino, VP of Operations Mike Palm joining us now. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. And Michael, he is root scooting suited right now. Mike Palm looking very dapper this lovely day.
Yeah,
how are you?
I like it.
The hair is a little musty.
What do we got today, Michael?
Well, I'm trying to celebrate Stormy coming home now. I thought maybe she would be done, but now early next week she'll be out again.
Well, it's my last week. It's my last
and then
week. The, of
and then USX, FL, whatever that thing is now, that starts, and you're the queen of that.
I'm the queen.
What is it called? USFL?
The UFL, because the USFL and the XFL have merged. They've come together.
But there's eight teams.
Correct.
And Bob Stoops is still there.
Correct.
That's all I know.
He won it all last year.
And all the and all the players have emerged. What, how did they break up the teams and work on that, Stormy?
They split. So there's an XFL division and a USFL division. So we're still like trying to find out a lot more details. All they've released so far is the destinations, teams, and coaches.
Don't let Stormy fool you. She's also the commissioner of this new league.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Danny Garcia and Mr. The Rock for letting me in. No. But so I haven't seen you. So apparently I'm not allowed to say Happy New Year to anybody anymore. Larry David said yesterday was the cutoff, but I haven't seen you yet.
And you're supposed to have your Christmas lights down by the 6th of January. Ooh, I read that as well.
That's not going to happen for me.
Well, I've got to get to work.
That's not going to happen.
Sorry. I got to be honest. That's we're not getting there for a while. But you have like full-blown decorations for the holidays.
And we have a lot. But the people that put them up are going to take them down. And my wife's got 2 of the 3 trees down, so she's got a good start.
All right. Well, let's get into the latest on all things Circa Survivor. Where are we at right now? The chop. We need all the details.
Four. Well, listen, there's NDAs in that. I guess Bill 80 doesn't have to abide by them in this famous email. Like Scoop Jackson, they call him. How about that, Michael? Here's a guy that should have been on What's My Line. Would anybody have ever guessed that he was a sports editor or run a sports betting network? Oh, I think he would have been tough.
It's funny you bring that scoop at Dorothy Kilgarren. I mean, she was on What's My Line, right? Wasn't she on that show?
Yes, she was. So
And she had all the scoop on Jack Ruby, too. He was going to give everything. And she died in her bed reading a book that was the same book she'd read 2 years ago. But we won't go there anyway.
Michael, you'll appreciate I'm very deep into JFK conspiracy lately.
Good for you. I'm doing the JFK podcast. Solving JFK. Wow. I tape it tomorrow. I got asked by Matt Crumpton to be on that, which I'm very, very excited for, to take part into that and to share my thoughts and ideas and hopefully attack Gerald Posner some more if I possibly can.
So Bill has reported that they saved $2 million and that they each got 1.81 in change, right? And left $2 million to play for. It's the same four that have been alive since Christmas Eve. They marched forward all with the Eagles on Christmas Day. 4 different picks last week, all of them won. And now they come into this weekend. All of them have Cincinnati, which the line is a runaway against Cleveland. One player, L.A. Jones or Greg Jones, who's the one who mistakenly chose Green Bay on.
What a cool story.
Because mother had just died and he was in a fog and he put it on Tom Carroll, his proxy's app, you know, the wrong pick. And then on Saturday when Tom Carroll's calling him saying, where's your Survivor plays? I'm out. No, you're not. You put it Packers. I put Packers in. So quite a story. He says he's not taking Cincinnati. He wants to go for whatever they saved. There's some interesting choices. The Raiders are out there. New England's out there. Houston, a road favorite's out there. New Orleans, I think, is an interesting choice. We'll have to see how they end up doing. Whether all 4 make it to the end to officially get paid from us or whether it's less than 4.
I don't know why would you be anti-taking the Bengals? Like, it's the perfect scenario. Like, there it's at the end. You're perfectly situated. You're there. They're playing home. The Browns are retreating like any bad army. And why wouldn't you?
He wants to go. I think he thinks if everybody just takes it right, then they just chopped it the whole way, and he wants to take a shot. He does have Houston, and he does have Pittsburgh. Maybe he takes one of those 2 favorites on Saturday, and then if it falls that the other 3 took Cincinnati, he could make a large money line wager on Cincinnati, right? Because Cincinnati should happen to lose. He wins the whole whatever it is they're playing for, according to Bill 80, $2 million. So he could be in a position, but then if he takes one of those 2 and they lose, then he's eliminated himself from a share of that other $2 million.
Any game week 18 that you're particularly interested in? Like, this week to me is so bizarre. I like when we have a slate of games and there's at least 2-3 that you feel really confident in, you really like. This week's really, really difficult. Is there anything that you really like?
I like Buffalo.
Okay.
Listen, Michael, Josh Allen has played Miami 12 times. He's 10-2, and in 5 of those 10 wins, he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. He's really owned them. I know Miami ran the ball, but they were behind and did it as a changeup. I don't know, can their outside zone running game be effective here? I think Buffalo has the intangibles. The only team they beat with a winning record is a team that can't win on the road against decent teams, and the Cowboys. And I thought both teams left a little bit to be desired in that spot. So I laid three with the Bills. I also took three with the Bears. I think this is a really tricky spot for Green Bay. The Bears are coming in with a lot of momentum. I think quarterback's playing for his job. I think coach is playing for his job. You know, if Kevin Warren wasn't the president of the team, wouldn't Harbaugh end up in Chicago next year?
If they're willing to pay. The conversation about Harbaugh isn't about would they be interested. The conversation is what are you willing to pay? And some of these teams like the Bears have not historically paid their coaches to this level. So, and Warren, you know, are you going to hire somebody to come in and pay him $20 million and you're making $8 million? You know what I mean? I mean, that and you're the president of the team. I think to me, there lies the issue.
Harbaugh also been rumored as very in play for the Raiders opportunity, but we've seen all the stuff from Devontae Adams, from Max Crosby this week about how much they want Antonio Pierce to be the guy. How much do you think that could play into Raiders' motivation this week? How Mark Davis feels about things, having the temperament of the locker room on his side? Where are you at on
that? We've seen that line move from 2.5 to 3. I think that's real, that they want Pierce to be their coach. Can they affect it and get the win? And then you're on another side where poor Sean Payton's been left to play the villain, I think, in the whole Russell Wilson. That wasn't his decision. Whether he hated Wilson, whether he said he didn't want the job because of Wilson, that wasn't his decision to pull Wilson out. No one in their right mind thinks Stidham gives him a better chance to win, but he had to say that, right? So, it's the same argument Michael makes. Is Mark Davis going to pay $20 million? Although Mike Pritchard made a good point this morning when he joined Mitch and Paul and I in the last hour of Follow the Money. Las Vegas needs headliners. You might not have needed a headliner when you were in Oakland, California, but Las Vegas is a town of headliners. Mark Davis went out and paid Becky Hammon more than what her whole team makes combined, and they've won 2 titles. Does he have the resources and the stomach to pay Harbaugh that much money?
I think that's the issue, Mike, and I think because of his, you know, what he paid Gruden, had to pay Gruden to go away, what he's going to have to pay Josh McDaniels to go away. There's only so much, you know, you're going to start really becoming a difficult situation. And, you know, look, Mark Davis is intimately involved in the team, and I think whoever goes in there is going to have to be prepared for that.
Off the beaten path of the NFL, anything you like in the national championship?
I bet Washington when it got to 5. It went 3.5 to 5. Now it's back 4.5, 4. I had Washington on Sunday. I was on the wrong side. I had Alabama. I just think this team still hasn't gotten the respect in the market, right? And Penix, I mean, how could you throw the ball any better than he did? And I actually think it will be harder for Michigan to sack him than Milroe. They had a great plan with Milroe and knew that he would sprint backwards when he was in trouble. So the sacks were for 9 yards and 11 yards and really disabled Alabama in the first half of that game.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. This is a different game. This is a spread team, and you're going to have to handle they're going to spread you out. They're going to make you defend them hard, and he can throw it. You know, I don't think they were worried about Milroe processing and throw. They rushed him perfectly. I agree with you. This is a completely different game. This is Ollie Frazier. I think Michigan's offense has got to control the football and control the pace of the game, something that Sarkisian wasn't able to do at Texas, even though, Mike, I don't know if you know this, we learned that he scripts 40 plays in a row. 40. 40. And we were going Google-eye over it. He scripts 40. So I said to my son, Mick, when it was 3rd and 37, I said, do you think he scripted this one in his 40?
Walsh did how many, 25?
12,
okay.
20 maybe.
Yep.
And, you know, you got to get a feel for scripting 40. How about get a feel for the game?
Maybe. That would be beneficial. I know there's a lot of talented skill players in this national championship game. I'm most excited about the Michigan D-line against the Washington offensive line. It's going to be a really good battle up front. We'll be right back. We got Palms Pressing 3. Huge shout out, Mike Palm, joining us the full half hour. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. And you also get access to NBA League Pass the rest of the season. Download the app and use the promo code VSIN when you sign up. That's VSIN, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. We're wrapping things up here on the Lombardi Line alongside Mike Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Palm, kind enough to stick around and join us for the last half an hour of the program. And he's fired up. We got some good stuff for Palm's Pressing 3.
Okay. Thank you, Stormy. Michael.
Okay. I can't say you're fired up and then you give me that.
Well, I appreciate that you approved of the questions. Number one, Michael. Familiarity levels talent differentials. It's why we often see upsets in divisional games. While Baltimore has clinched the number one seed in the bye and are resting Lamar Jackson on Saturday, how important is it for the Ravens to eliminate their division rival Steelers from playoff contention and a possible third meeting this year?
Well, I think it goes to the rivalry, right? It's the uniform. I mean, no one asks how important is the Ohio State-Michigan game, even when both teams are not playing well, right? It's just important. It's inherent. It's part of the facility. You know, you become a Raven, you learn to not like Pittsburgh. You become a Steeler, you learn to not like Baltimore. And I think that never goes away, regardless of the timing or the season. And especially if you can do a little dig, I think it's huge. You know, I think it's huge. And I know from being in the North, when we used to call it the Central, you know, it's a big rivalry. It's the one you build the crescendo for, the Browns versus the Steelers, cities that are close together, you know, the rivalry, all those things. I think to me, you know, it's really important for the Ravens to play well. Look, John Harbaugh takes every preseason game and makes it important. Why wouldn't he make this game important?
That's terrific. Now, this second question dovetails from the first. Circa, here at Circa, little book behind me.
Heard of it.
We have posted a Super Bowl prop. 49ers and Ravens or the rest of the field, who will win the Super Bowl. And we opened it up, a pick'em. So, Michael, tell me, which is the worst playoff matchup for both of those two teams, San Francisco and Baltimore, in their respective conferences?
I would say San Francisco would, if they've got to play Philly at home again, that's going to be, not that Philly's playing well, but it's always hard to beat a champion, right? Baltimore being the one seed would have to play probably the four seed if they got through, or the fifth seed, which would be Cleveland. I think it would be Baltimore playing Cleveland. If Cleveland beats the four seed, which they should, I think having to play Cleveland with Joe Flacco coming back into Baltimore, coming off a long layover, that would be a hard game.
In that particular matchup, how much of a factor, Michael, from a psychological standpoint, is it that Flacco is playing with house money? He was on a couch a month ago, right? And he's going back to the place where he had success. If that game in the divisional round, Browns at Ravens, starts poorly for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, how tight does that team become with all the pressure on them?
Oh, I think it becomes really tight. And the fact that that Cleveland went in there and beat them, the fact that Cleveland's defense will probably be healthier when they go in there and play them the second time. Look, I don't think you want to play a team that's led by their defense in the playoffs. I think we always look offensively. One of the reasons I like Miami after Thanksgiving to win and really make some make their way into the playoffs was because I felt like their offense, their defense was going to carry them. But now minus Chubb, minus Phillips, minus Xavier Howard, the corner, I can't really say that. So I don't like Miami as much. But Cleveland, you don't want to play a defense like Cleveland in the playoffs because the game's going to be close. You can't get control of the game as easily when you play some of these teams who try to make a play here or a play there on their defense. They try to create a negative play, a drive, and all of a sudden they're off the field. They never get control of that game.
I know your third question also has to do with Cleveland, but real quick, I'd like to get an answer from both of you guys. What would you take in that prop? Would you take Ravens 49ers or the field?
Oh, I would take Ravens 49ers.
Michael?
Yeah, me too. I take Ravens. I think they've both demonstrated they dominate their opponents.
I will be shocked if the 49ers aren't in the Super Bowl. Although I've picked Baltimore and bet them, I wouldn't be shocked if they somehow met a landmine, and Cleveland might be it. Okay, final question, Michael. and this, as Stormy said, does involve the Browns as well. Kevin Stefanski right now is the prohibitive favorite for coach of the year. But should he be? Or should the coach of the year be the winner of the game in Indianapolis on Saturday night? DeMeco Ryans, the Houston Texans win total was 4.5 with a rookie quarterback to take them to the playoffs. Maybe even he doesn't even make the playoffs. And then you look at the Colts and what Shane Steichen has done without Jonathan Taylor for much of the year, with Gardner Minshew under center, and with not a great defense. I mean, he's running Mike Sanford's offense that he ran at UNLV here in the late 2000s. That same offense Alex Smith ran at Utah. That's what he's running in Indianapolis. I mean, I think it's one of these two guys. What are your thoughts?
I think Steichen would be the clear winner if he could fix his defense, which he can't. I think what DeMeco Ryans has been able to do coming off of where they are, I think he has to get it. The reason Stefanski's in such good shape is because he took a guy off the couch and he went from throwing it 28 times a game to throwing it 42, and their offense is better. We just mentioned how Baltimore doesn't want to play Cleveland in the playoffs. And part of it is because of their defense, but I think the other part of it is because they know Flacco's playing really well. But I like DeMeco. If I had to pick of the two, I think Steichen's got a tough offseason ahead of him because he's going to have to answer the question, do I keep going forward with Gus Bradley or I become a head coach and make a decision to change defensive philosophy? Because if I'm going to beat the good teams over here in the AFC, the Chiefs, the Baltimore, I'm going to have to play man-to-man. I'm going to have to blitz. I'm going to have to do some different things. I can't play soft palm coverage. So I think that's going to be the issue. DeMeco, I think, has got a good program going ahead of him.
Yeah, DeMeco Ryans, 10-1. Shane Steichen, 11-1. Stefanski right now, -1,000 favorite. While we're on kind of this topic, though, of some futures, Michael and I were talking yesterday about Puka Nacua and the potential of him setting a couple of wide receiver rookie records tomorrow. Is there any chance, or is it all CJ Stroud? For
Stroud had to not come back, I think. Okay. As long as Stroud came back, I think he had built up enough of a lead that he was going to win the award.
Can I interject? Because I think it's a great question. When you do something historic, doesn't that really offset anything else?
I don't know. Cooper Kupp did some historic stuff too. I mean, Triple Crown winner.
This is historic though.
Yeah, well. Where would you rank Puka Nacua's season as a rookie wide receiver? Is it even top three though? I know he set records, but is it better than Randy Moss's rookie year? Is it better than the kid in Cincinnati a couple years ago? To the eye test, those were better seasons. So I think Stroud as a quarterback, the importance of the quarterback in this. Let's dovetail off that and talk about the Rams. I've talked to the people, your close friend, Patrick Maher, Derek and all his people. They are praying. The Lions fans are praying they don't have to play the Rams, but it's probably going to be the 6-3 matchup. They are definitely afraid of Matthew Stafford coming back there. Who you got in that wild card matchup, Rams at Lions, just as a pick 'em to win the game?
Oh, I would take the Rams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the Rams in that game. I'm going to take McVay in any one-game single elimination tournament against anybody. I think he'll scheme it up. I think Raheem Morris has done a remarkable job, not getting enough credit. I think Sean McVay's done an unbelievable job because we know, like this weekend, I know the Lions 4, but they won't be the same team because their star players won't play.
And they're not going to show.
And he's done a great job.
Neither team's going to show anything. Would you take McVay over Shanahan if that's the NFC Championship game?
Ooh. No, I would take Shanahan because McVay has a hard time beating Shanahan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going
to
say,
McVay knows
number.
How to stop. Shanahan knows how to stop McVay. They kind of have a sense of it. See, here's the whole key. When McVay can run the ball on you, you got problems. Now, the Lions, he would struggle to run the ball on the Lions, but he would throw it well on the Lions. He wouldn't mind throwing it much. But he goes and plays the Cowboys. He might keep the Cowboys offense on the sideline for a while.
Is Sunday Bill's last game in New England?
I never would say never, but I think here's what I would say to that. There hasn't been one time since last August that anybody from any place has said this is not a real story, that this could be Bill's last year. Mm. No one's really stopped it. And when asked, they don't stop it. So I got to say probably, but I don't know.
Fun show, fun spot. Palms pressing 12
great
today.
Great job, Michael.
This was good.
I saw you do the rapid fire leading into this. I liked it.
Yeah, this was good. Appreciate your time as always. Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino. Thank you also to Mike Somich for joining us earlier in Hour 1. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Keep it locked right here on VSiN. We've got Sharp Money coming up next.